Sam, can I approach?
Yeah, please. Yeah. How are you?
Awesome. A young lady just walked in. She was watching something.
Yeah.
She got a bag.
She can't sign up?
Well, they said if it's closed.
Oh, well,
she
doesn't
even.
What's her name?
I don't know, but I'm going to send over to you.
Yeah, would you? How are you? You want to
get a dialogue on race.
Right.
And I'm
crazy.
And I'm trying to get a president. And
yeah, I'm very interested.
Okay.
Yep. Please do. Hi, I'm Sam. Nia, did you want to testify? What's your last name? Nia. So I will make.
There's two people. It's just not me. Because I would never.
There are two people.
Yes, my dad.
Oh, hi. How are you? I know your dad.
Yes.
Nice to see you.
Yes, you too.
So because so we'll get you up next. I need you to. We have to shorten the time though because it's getting late. Can you think you can do it in like 2 minutes? I like your style. I like your style.
That's right. Look, see,
did you want to be up too, or just?
I think she wants me to come up.
Oh, okay. Do you want to speak too? Maybe, what do you think about I ask how many people are here in support of? Huh? Amanda doesn't like it, but I don't care. Can you get her name? Did you get their names? Hey, how are you?
What happened to your chin?
Oh, okay. Nothing too serious.
Two things. I applied for the Business Alliance. The
Business Alliance, CCC?
Yeah, I think it's the corporation that runs the Wagon Huts.
Oh.
I think. I'm not sure because it was kind of vague. But
okay.
The other thing that no one has bothered to tell you is that Reverend Haynes is a bishop.
He introduced it. He always says he's...
I understand that because he, you know, but he is a bishop. So as opposed to Reverend Haynes...
Thank you.
Put a lot of stock in that stuff.
He introduces himself to me as Reverend Haynes.
I understand, but...
Thank you. Appreciate it. I have one extra point. Hi, sir. How are you?
Good.
Have a good one. Good to see you. Who are you taking pictures for? Oh, that's fantastic.
I'm actually doing a history of it's kind of, I'm basically making it here. I did all the support, all the citizens.
Oh, that's great. Well, that's my contact information. If I can be of assistance, let me know. Glad you're here. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, sir. No, they don't make pockets. Well, I got this pocket, but yeah, absolutely. I'll go to Portland Online. My face, you know, it's on the top right hand corner. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
After these, the human rights commission. I'm sorry, I should have set that up.
We would extend courtesies in the house. We're going to go into child and her dad and Trisha from the site. How are you? Okay. All right, City Council will come back from our compassionate recess. If you could please find a seat. So, We're very close to being able to vote on this ordinance. It's getting late, and those of you that have been here from the beginning, I want to thank you for your patience and your perseverance. Exactly. I give this to you. If there's a point of view or something that has not been said and you've signed up, I encourage you to testify. But if you've heard a point of view expressed already, then I would encourage you to let us get to the vote. But it is, you get to decide that.
You had your turn.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, Ms. Harris.
Yes, Mayor.
It's nice to see you. If you feel passionate, you know, I want you to testify, but also we want to get to the vote as well. But we're very lucky to, we'll be calling people up, but we're very lucky to be joined by Ms. Monroe and her father, if you'd please come forward, and also Tricia Knoll from HRC, if you'd also please come forward. Now, I understand, Ms. Monroe, that you saw this going on TV, and your father, you asked your father to drive you here.
Yes.
So that you could tell us what you think about this matter. And I'm very impressed.
Oh. Yes.
So the floor is yours.
Hi, my name is Nia Monroe. I'm 12 years old, and you guys might be thinking, why is a 12-year-old girl standing on the piano right now? Well, it's not just grown-ups who care about this issue. There's kids my age who care about this, too. For example, there's the girl who has been shot with the beanbag gun on the TriMet bus. And there's also have been two shootings of men in the last 2 months, which I don't think is very acceptable by the Portland police. And I'm pretty sure there are other people who have been shot and killed or beaten by police that it hasn't been said on TV or anything. And I think children and adults should be able to go to the police and feel safe to ask for help and not be afraid.
You're the only, because you did such a great job of presenting yourself, and because you made the extra effort to come down here as chair of this proceedings, you get the only exception for clapping.
I want to thank you for watching Channel 30 and being interested in your city government.
Thank you.
You're probably one of four people tonight watching. It's important anyway. Sir, thank you for your effort in bringing your daughter down.
You're very welcome. My name is Mikhail Shabazz. I'm known as Imam Shabazz in some circles. And I've sent my letter of support not only for what's being proposed tonight, but for the efforts of the Albina Ministerial Alliance and its leadership. We want to make sure that we are not saying that we are against the police. We are saying that we want our police to be our police. We want to make sure that the council understands and that the police understand that we appreciate the work of the many men and women who are doing great work in the city of Portland as police officers. And we are not the ones that spit in hamburgers. We're not the ones that break out windows and cause disruption. We are the citizens. We are the citizens that participate through the participatory system that is in place in the city of Portland. We are the citizens that want to be partners with our police department and with our government. We are the citizens that want to feel safe that we can support our police officers, give them what they need as they give us what we need. We are saying we are the citizens that want those who have taken indecent liberties to be held in check, and we want to make sure that things are in place for those who are doing a good job, that they will be able to work in an atmosphere that assures them that they can make the right decisions at the right time to protect all of us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Tricia.
Mayor Adams and City Commissioners, I'm Tricia Noel, and I'm here representing the City of Portland Human Rights Commission. The Human Rights Commission met on March 25th to discuss the IPR ordinance. We listened to Mary Beth Baptista from IPR and asked questions. We invited the Human Rights Commission's Committee on Police and Community Relations, which you helped us create, to offer their perspectives. This included comments from police officers and citizens who shared concerns around the process being used to bring this ordinance to council and issues of accountability. We listened to public comment. About 70 members of the public attended that meeting, and 3 provided testimony in support of the ordinance. Discussion at the Human Rights Commission centered on whether this ordinance relates to the Human Rights Commission's core mission of looking at the root problems in the community that we've seen evidence, such as how do we help people with mental illness in our community. And these issues, these root causes, of course, also cause tension between the police and the community. We are also concerned that the ordinance may result in a diminished role for the Citizen Review Committee, although we understand that there have been changes that were made today. We believe that City Council has heard loud and clear from the community about their views of this ordinance as a first step. Testimony has been extensive, and we applaud your decision to let people come in the evening. We also want to underscore the importance of continuing transparent, inclusive dialogue on police issues going forward, and that would be more than just the issues related to this ordinance. You have discussed community engagement as part of your deliberations on this ordinance, that the community will continue its recommendations on next steps and evaluation of the IPR ordinance within the next 90 days. The Human Rights Commission supports transparent community dialogue based on mutual respect that includes both police and community stakeholders to look at root problems. The Human Rights Commission's Committee on Community and Police Relations meets monthly. This is a forum where work is going forward on bridging the gap between our community and the police through respectful, thoughtful dialogue to bring forth recommendations for policy and police practice reforms. And we thank you for your support of that committee. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. Very well. All right, so we are prepared to vote. Yeah, I'm just a second. But if there are any folks that, if there are any folks who offer a point of view that has not yet been given, then please come forward. All right, we'll take you three. If you're waiting to testify, you wouldn't mind standing on the side here, just so we know who's still wants to testify. And I'm going to ask that you limit your comments to a minute or try really hard. How's that? Please begin. Glad you're here, and thanks for waiting.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Lisa Haynes, and I just want to thank you for letting me speak today. I'm here because of what's going on. I just recently moved out here to Portland called City of Roses, and to me, I feel it's becoming City of Thorns, and it's trickling down like an ocean of blood, you know, with our youth, with everybody, with our mental illness. I'm a mother of 4, and it really concerns me with the way the council and the police department is handling this. You know, it's not being handled fast enough to me. You know, I have a son. I have 3 sons and a daughter, and he was involved in an altercation with the police, with them using police brutality and lethal force. And he was just walking down the street minding his own business, and 12 cops pulled up on him. I worry about my kids. I worry about other families, other mothers. You know, I don't sleep at night, you know, concerned about my son's safety and my safety and the safety of the other moms. and children, you know, at school.
I need you just to wrap up.
Okay. And I hope that you guys put yourself in our shoes, you know, and take a stance today to do the right thing, because God is watching every one of us.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you. Hi, thanks for waiting.
Hi, I'm Lynn Kirby. I won't belabor this. I'm white. You're all white. The people that are being brutally shot, for the most part, aren't white. I think if the police had people on the force that looked like our community, maybe this wouldn't be such an issue. But whenever we do get a person of color on the police force, they get bullied off, and it sounds like it's a good old boy system. And I think that needs to be addressed. You know, we need people that look like our community, and then maybe there could be some respect.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Sir?
Yes, my name is Gary Clinton. I'm Everyday People. It seemed like every time I turn around my hair, I'm okay. I'm waiting for my attorney, brought on by the Portland PD. Last Sunday, Everyday People did a vigil, went to the what I call the killing fields. And it seemed like I could just feel each and every one of them victims reaching out saying, thank you for standing up for me. Also, as far as the police association, if they're getting my tax dollars, then I'm very displeased if they can march representing Officer Murphy that killed James Chassie and that shot a 12-year-old African-American girl with a beanbag gun, if they're using my tax dollars for that. Something must change. And frankly, I just don't believe because I done heard this going to happen, and it ended up never happening. So show and tell. That's the only thing I got to say.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank all of you for waiting. The next three. Welcome to the City Council. Thanks for your perseverance. Appreciate it. Why don't we begin with you, ma'am?
Okay, my name is Helen Sherman. Been here many times before.
Yeah.
And what I haven't said before was that I received an opossum on my porch from the white supremacists. And after I received the possum, I got a white supremacist letter. After that, my door was banged down by the police. My daughter was molested by a snitch, racketeering of the police officer, sick this snitch, sexual active man on my daughter into a relationship. And then when the police was on the inside of my house looking for a vast amount of drugs, the snitch was on the outside. The police did not have a search warrant. The police treated us like dirt, pulled guns in my grandchildren's face. And so, you know, it's really been hard living this life and having to deal with this kind of situation all of these years. You know, I didn't have any gray hair when this got started. But you see how gray I am now? So that's how tired I am of this.
Can you just wrap it up?
Well, being that there are so many rogue officers on the police force, I think you would not have anybody to run it if you cleaned it up.
Thank you for your testimony.
So that's my view.
Thank you.
And I'm still, I didn't get my 3 minutes, and I have something else to say, but I will stop at that point.
Well, I thank you for hanging in there and for expressing your point of view. I appreciate it. Sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is Rick Miller. I represent no organization. I'm simply a citizen who chose tonight to heed the words of Thomas Jefferson, who said that all that is required for evil to flourish is for men of goodwill to do nothing. I can no longer do nothing. I can no longer be silent. I must come before you and say that the Portland Police Bureau has broken my trust. The optimist in me wants to believe that tonight's bill, tonight's ordinance, is a good first step. The cynic in me believes it's putting a Band-Aid on an amputated limb. And whether it's the former or the latter will depend on the leadership of this body and the leadership of the police force. I had the privilege of serving this country for 9 years as an infantry officer in the United States Marine Corps. I led men in harm's way in Central America and in the Persian Gulf. And I didn't go overseas to defend the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to come home and have my fellow citizens' liberties trampled on by the very organization that is supposed to protect and to serve them. Thank you for hearing me.
Well, thank you for your service as well. Thank you. Hi.
Hi. My name is Rowan Griffith. I'm a student at Portland State, and I can't represent anyone other than myself. I can say that I have been involved in organizing various various responses that have occurred since the shooting last Tuesday that happened. And so while I can't speak for anyone else, I can articulate some of what the sentiment of that organizing body has been. And that is that first of all, I really respect everyone who spoke before me, but I want to say that I don't think it's just a few bad apples. I think that that it's important that we understand that the system of oppression in which the police exist is one that will not be significantly altered by simply addressing various individuals who may be taking bad actions, that the system of oppression they exist inside of is one that is very much entrenched. And one that I think this bill is a good step towards addressing, but that real and meaningful citizen participation in the review of the police and in changing, I'm sorry, I know we're up for time, but I just want to say, the fact that their contract is up in June is incredibly important, and that everyone that I have spoken to strongly supports the city of Portland taking a stance in altering that contract such that officers can actually be fired when they kill people. I think that's an incredibly important part of all of this. So, among other things, thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. The next three, please. Again, thanks for waiting. Appreciate your patience. Why don't we begin with you, sir?
My name is Scott Rice. I'm a business owner. I don't represent anyone but myself. And I'm here to say that although I applaud this first step, I want to point out that there are things that the city of Portland has done over the years that I think disenfranchise people and set up an adversarial atmosphere which diminishes certain populations, especially the mentally ill. And I'm referring back to the sit-lie law, and I think that policies like that help set up situations like this. And when we put the police and populations who have nowhere to go in an adversarial situation, problems are going to happen. And so I urge you to look beyond this law and look at some of the larger issues and consider services to the homeless and other disenfranchised populations as part of the cure for this problem which is happening in this city. Thank you.
Thank you. And I know I speak for the entire city council when I say we agree next year we can find the resources. It's about $109 million in affordable housing and homeless services. So, and in fact, the city council increased by about 40% our funding for housing and affordable homeless services last year, even though we had to cut every other part of the budget. So we know we've got a lot more to do, but we really are committed to doing it. Sir, thanks for waiting.
Thank you, Mayor Adams, commissioners. My name is Moses Rosen. I am a member of Everyday People, and I wanted to say that tomorrow is too late to install accountability in our police department. Without accountability, none of your other programs mean anything. You can have the greenest streets you want, and if you don't have justice, you ain't got nothing. This is a first step. I call it a half step. We need a major overhaul of the police department. As you've heard, there is a culture of corruption and intimidation against anybody that wants to buck the system. The system is broken. The people's trust is broken. You, people up here, have the opportunity to regain the people's trust and install accountability in the Portland Police Department. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sir, thanks for waiting.
Thank you. Mayor and City Council and community members. My name is Brian Barnett. I'm a longtime resident of Portland, North Portland. I'm a member of the Freedom Socialist Party. And for decades, we have called for an independent and elected civilian police review board with authority to investigate and discipline police officers. Appointment guidelines, as I was looking at them, stated that the review board members must represent the entire community, demographically and geographically. And this should mean that poor and people of color will be represented, since they're the targets, as someone just mentioned. And we believe that only an elected board can achieve this. We believe that real accountability would reduce police abuses and save families the grief that results from deadly force criminal killings. This real accountability is worth demanding and fighting for. And so we are in solidarity with Portlanders active in pushing the City Council to increase police accountability and transparency, although we think that the proposed changes focusing on a more active IPR will not be adequate to achieve these goals. We need to go farther. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you all. The next three, please. Thanks for waiting. Really appreciate it. I know we've had you wait quite a while. Why don't you please begin?
Okay. My name is Terry Walker, and I'm with NAMI Multnomah. That's the Portland Metro chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness. The ordinance is only part of what's needed. A wise bumper sticker I saw today said, "The war on terror starts within." We fear change, and we fear what we don't understand. There are not many more issues that create fear than mental illness does. Mental illness is a medical illness. What other medical illness requires a person in a medical crisis to be an imminent danger to self or others to get critical care? When they're finally eligible for critical care, medical care, then officers are called, often potentially ending in tragedy. Crisis intervention is more costly than prevention. I facilitate support groups for NAMI, and we had over 4,000 attendees last year. They're afraid now to call 911 for help. In the past, I've had to call and get help for a family member. I've seen that different officers use their own discretion with some good effects, same training. So I know it's possible. Police officers signed up to serve and protect. That means everyone. A call for medical help shouldn't end in panic and senseless killing. We hear of the Park Report and Senate Bill 111 not completely or not even implemented. We need fearless accountability and transparency from our government. Our leaders must take fearless initiative to change the situation, find gaps in treatment, give officers a place to take individuals in crisis without having to wait for hours. We need an array of appropriate supportive housing, not just for the homeless. Some people with mental illness need appropriate housing.
So I need you to wrap up, ma'am.
We want preventive treatment instead of leaving the problem to become a crisis with the police. People with a mental health crisis can't hear and process commands and instantly comply. The public and the police need to be more tolerant of difference and unusual behavior. We need a city that works for all, safety for all.
Thank you. Barry?
Thank you. I just wanted to touch on something that nobody brought up. We had somewhat of a riot here the other night. And we had some commentary earlier that people are angry, and that's being passed on. That anger and frustration is being passed on to our youth. We also had an explosion here in Portland that was heard virtually in the entire east side of the city, meaning from that hill to that hill. And we also had this week a terrorist attack on the public transit system in Russia. And we have to have in this city and in our society, we have to have an accountability system where people actually feel that the police will be held accountable, and they're not. And I am sad to say living proof of that. You all know I have been illegally convicted, and as I was appealing that, I was illegally evicted, and my goods were destroyed to tens of thousands of dollars. That's what my friend and former landlord was talking about when he said, when you buck the system fights back. So before we have to deal with that anger that was smashing a window at the Bank of America, combining with the insanity that was setting off a bomb, we have to step this whole thing down. Thank you.
Thank you for waiting. Hi.
Hi, my name is Rachel. I've been a resident of Northeast Portland for 13 years, and I've seen a lot of harassment and racial profiling and violence against youth of color and people of color, specifically African Americans in our community, through lots of means, through explicit violence as well as through gentrification. Something that I found really problematic was I was listening to KBOO and the other day, and the president of the Portland Police Association, Scott Westerman, was on, and I've heard this before, but he called the killing of Aaron Campbell as a suicide by police, and I've heard that before, and I don't understand how the police can justify killing someone and calling it suicide when they're coming there to supposedly help someone who is suicidal. So why would they do that for them? I thought they're supposed to be there to help, not to actually commit suicide for the person who is suicidal. So I think that's really problematic. And I also work at Portland Women's Crisis Line as a sexual assault advocate. And we work with Project Respond, who is trained to work with the police for people who are suicidal. And I really think that Project Respond could be utilized a lot more in every case.
Thank you. Thank you all for your testimony. All right, the last three, please come forward. Thanks for your perseverance. Some celebration of the last three going on in the... in the chambers. Oh, well, yeah.
Ladies first.
Sir, please begin.
Me? Sure. I'm a little nervous. My name is Brock Turner. I'm speaking myself as a person with Asperger's syndrome, autism, and I want to state that I'm also a person of faith. I'm a member of the First Unitarian Church of Portland, and my heart goes out to all the members of color who feel discriminated. But I think this is that the faith has no color. I'm proud that the First Unitarian Church is a member of the Albina Ministerial Alliance, and I'm speaking out here because I think that the issue of people with mental illness is significant, and I have struggled with. You know, it was mentioned earlier, people who are Latino, Black, being afraid of the police. I have had experiences with the police that frighten me. I think most police officers have nothing but good intentions. But, you know, it's embarrassing to be humiliated, to be brought out in broad daylight in my pajamas because someone calls in thinking I may be suicidal. And I want to have faith in my police that they're doing the right thing. And I hope that this is only a first step to broader reform to ensure that people like myself who struggle with mental illness can find safety and security in the Portland Police Office. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your very good testimony. Really appreciate it. Thank you. Sam.
Good evening. I'm Margaret Braden, and I'm the executive director of NAMI Multnomah. Too much not talking. And I'm also the mom of an adult child with mental illness. I come to you tonight to really read a statement that the members of NAMI Multnomah have prepared, but also just to share with you that one of my biggest fears is that my son will be shot when he is experiencing symptoms and having difficulty crossing streets, etc. And recently, he was committed, and seven policemen showed up at his door, and it was only because a social worker accompanied them that he wasn't tasered. So I was grateful that the social worker was there. But anyway, tonight I'd like to read a statement that has been thought through by our members on regarding the police training and procedures in Portland, Oregon. As members of NAMI Multnomah, Portland Metro Chapter of National Alliance of Mental Illness, we seek to protect our loved ones who live with mental illness. We are also concerned about our community members, including police officers, who are called on to serve and protect our citizens. Events in and around the city of Portland have shown that the Portland police policies, police training, and procedures of interaction with those who suffer from mental illness have resulted in tragic consequences for all parties involved. As family members and citizens who deal with mental issues on a regular basis, it is clear that these issues have harmed not only those who suffer from mental illness and their families and loved ones, but those who are charged with the task of protecting our community, their families, and loved ones. Instead of serving and protecting all citizens and producing good outcomes for all, we have witnessed needless death and destructions of lives and careers. The results are tragic. The results have broken down the feeling of trust between our citizens and the police bureau and must change. Our experience with mental illness repeatedly demonstrates that persons in crisis may not hear and are often unable to respond to what are normally considered simple commands. Mental illness often is accompanied by a deficit of thought and loss of logical thinking, especially when accompanied by anxiety and stress. Asking responders to resolve these situations without adequate training to recognize and take appropriate action is not working for our community. We can and must do better. Policies, procedures, and the training of interaction with police, people in crisis, must reflect the realities of the situation encountered and allow for the resolution of a crisis that protects everyone involved. We call for fundamental improvements in Portland Police Bureau oversight, training, and procedures of crisis engagements so the cycle of personal tragedy for community members with mental illness and irreversible damage to police careers.
And I need you to wrap up.
And service will be stopped. NAMI members can understand the past incidents cannot be changed. NAMI members cannot understand and accept the future cannot change. To ensure good outcomes for all citizens, to provide for the safety of all our loved ones and family members, and for the safety of our community, change must happen.
Thank you very much, and again, thanks for waiting. Mr. Guerin, you get the last word.
Ed Guerin, I'm a family therapist. I'm a mental health professional. Mayor Adams, commissioners, thank you. I will try to be brief. This ordinance is a good first step. It's also about 10 or 15 years late from everything I've heard. I've sat in this room twice for over 3 hours. And it's only a beginning. There's big issues, and there's two things. I'll tell you the most distressing thing I heard here tonight was Chief Sizer saying she didn't understand why all of this was going on. Commissioner Salzman, you are her boss. I hope you will ask her to sit down and watch these tapes since she was out of the town the first night and she had to leave early tonight, because it is truly depressing and frightening to me that the chief of police does not understand the concern, the anger, which is quickly turning into rage in a lot of communities about these issues. That is extremely depressing and distressing. The other thing I need to say is about dissent. There was a demonstration here on Monday. Now, I've been involved in a lot of demonstrations in my life. And there was apparently an issue because some people were spilling out of the sidewalk onto the street, and there was a use of mounted officers, officers with bicycles, pushing them and hitting them, which may have precipitated. Now, I need to say, this country is based in dissent. This country is based in dissent.
I just need you to wrap up that.
I am wrapping up. Remember, please, that the very first person killed in the Revolutionary War that founded this country was a black man from Barbados named Crispus Attucks. Okay? So when people need to express their anger in appropriate ways, don't push it into violence by telling them they can't express their anger in reasonable and appropriate ways when they demonstrate in the streets. That's inexcusable. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Guerin. Appreciate your testimony. Thank you all. All right, Carla, would you please call? Unless there's discussion required with staff, would you please call the vote?
Fritz?
As you know, this ordinance is very important. Thank you very much for being here tonight. This ordinance is about trust. And 2 weeks ago, I asked you to trust us that we would not water it down, that we would not somehow make it go away, and that Commissioner Leonard and Auditor Griffin Villade would take notice of what you said 2 weeks ago, and they would make corrections to make it stronger, not weaker. And that is what we have done. That's one small step. But we earn trust up here in the City Council. We earn it every day, and we understand that. And it's not a matter of one time given. It's every time. And so thank you for trusting us with that. Thank you, Commissioner Fish and Saltzman, for standing with me in that to insist that we do allow the time to get it right. And I believe that that the ordinance tonight is much stronger. We also allow time for all of you to come and talk. And thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for telling your stories. And thank you to Chief Sizer for coming. She's been really sick. She hasn't been at work for many, many days. And she didn't make it to the National Alliance for Mental Illness lunch today that Commissioner Saltzman and I were at. She sent Captain Donna Henderson, who recently graduated from Lewis and Clark, doing counseling and did her internship with Project Respond. And that is the kind of officer, another kind of officer, that you have serving on the Portland Police Board, in the Portland Police Bureau. The changes proposed here are reasonable and necessary. Through these changes, the IPR will have more authority to investigate complaints of community concern, whether or not a community member files a complaint, and to participate independent investigations to ensure accuracy, thoroughness, and fairness. The IPR gains authority to determine when an investigation is complete and ready for review. These changes also increase the civilian role on the newly configured Police Review Board. In addition, the IPR's job is to classify, track, and report on the processes used to improve our collective confidence that the Portland Police Bureau has, in fact, provided due consideration to complaints. Council and the community have an interest in making certain that complaints about police officer conduct are handled in a comprehensive and responsive manner. IPR is not responsible for the management of police personnel or for their discipline, but it is IPR's job about the gathering and presentation of information and to assist the police personnel who are responsible for making initial findings in individual cases. All of the facts and recommendations ultimately lead to helping the chief of police and the commissioner in charge of the police bureau have the best developed information available to make their decisions. And then we have the Citizen Review Commission, who are also there to help us. And I want to thank the volunteers on that committee, recognizing that this is indeed a first step. This addresses the IPR component. There are other things that the Citizens Review Committee is asking us to do, and we will do that. Because this isn't the end, and this is only one piece of it. The Office of Human Relations and the Human Rights Commission is working on dialogues and on deeper understanding and addressing of racism and discrimination in our community, and we will continue to do that. Commissioner Saltzman and I have been working with people experiencing mental illness and mental health care providers, and next week we'll be putting out a report on our recommendations for actions to change the way that we do. We don't have community mental health care in Portland. I know that after 22 years working at OHSU. We need a system, and thanks to having now national health care with mental health parity, I believe that we are at a turning point and we can take care of people. We will take care of people who are experiencing mental illnesses in our community. I want to thank Mary Beth Baptista and her staff for their diligence, for their insistence that this ordinance be done right, and for also Auditor Griffin Villade and Commissioner Leonard. Most of all, though, I want to thank you, the community members. This is your ordinance. This is your victory. This is you with us. This is you participating in your government, making a difference. And thank you. This is us. This is our community, and we want it to be the best community for everyone that it can be. And so I'm very happy to support this ordinance. Aye.
Fish.
Well, I think my friend Dr. T. Allen Bethel said it best earlier tonight when he said that this ordinance is a good start. And so I want to thank the Auditor of Valade, and my friend Commissioner Leonard, and Director Baptiste, and each of you who took time out of your busy lives to be with us, probably not once, but two evenings, two different hearings. And in particular, to all the members of the AMA who have spoken so passionately in favor of justice. The ordinance that we're about to vote on advances key values which are important to me as a city commissioner. It strengthens independence. It strengthens accountability. It strengthens transparency. And it strengthens the review process. As most of you have testified tonight, more needs to be done. But tonight we make a good start together. I'm proud to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank everybody for their testimony tonight. As as police commissioner, I'm very humbled and as determined as ever to continue to bring accountability and transparency to our police bureau. It is our police bureau. The mission of the bureau is to reduce crime and the fear of crime by working with all citizens to preserve life, maintain human rights, protect property, and promote individual responsibility and community commitment. These are the goals of successful community policing. At the foundation of community policing, however, must be a solid partnership between the community and local law enforcement. An essential part of ensuring that partnership is the community's perception of the police and their integrity, honesty, and genuine interest in helping and serving and working with the community. When members of the community have trust in their local police, they are more likely to turn to the police for help in the work and work with them to prevent and to solve crimes. And as police commissioner, I'm committed to regaining that trust. It is my hope that by passing this ordinance today, we can take a substantial step in moving towards gaining and regaining the community's trust in our police and truly strengthening community policing in Portland. As Sir Robert Peel stated upon founding the first municipal police force in London in 1829, police at all times should maintain a relationship with the public that gives reality to the historic tradition that the police are the public, and the public are the police. This fact cannot be forgotten, either by the police or by our community. To truly solve the problems that we face as a community, we must bridge the divide that exists, and I think we're making a huge step forward tonight. Well, I believe accountability is an important theme today, accountability for the actions of our police officers, and while accountability may come in the form of acceptance, I'm sorry, it may come in the form of discipline, it could also come in the form of praise. I think we all know that to truly change behavior, research has shown that time and time again, praise is also a good way to make long-term behavioral change. And many of you may not know that the Independent Police Review Division, in addition to taking complaints, receives commendations from citizens regarding the everyday actions of police officers in our city. Like Officer Corey Stenzel of East Precinct, who gets so many citizen commendations that my hand literally hurts from signing all the letters of commendation to him. Like Officer Bridget Sycon and her team that we're here at a presentation from this morning, who tracks sex predators in our city relentlessly to make sure that we keep our children safe. Or Detective Mike Weinstein, if your child or your parent ever goes missing, this is the man you want finding them. Or Detective Karen Mack of the child abuse team. She has spent literally her entire career in the police bureau on the child abuse team. And believe me, that is the toughest, one of the toughest units to work in for any length of time, let alone a substantial part of your career. And finally, Officer Matthew Manis, Jeremy Anderson, and Christopher McDonald, who risked their lives leaping over a bridge to rescue a suicidal person. So these are just a few of the hundreds and hundreds of examples of the men and women of the Portland Police and what they do every day to protect and serve us. And I know all of you in the crowd recognize that tonight. There's some great people out there in our bureau. I am pleased, though, to support these meaningful changes to our Independent Police Review Division, as I think they will improve accountability. And I'm pleased to vote aye.
Leonard?
With great power comes great responsibility. And under the umbrella of responsibility comes accountability. The accountability part of the responsibility that the police bureau has for its great power is broken in the police bureau, in my view, when it comes to instances of use of force in general, but particularly lethal use of force incidents. We have a situation that exists under the current law whereby the police bureau actually has to agree to let the IPR director conduct an investigation in many use of force cases, including deadly use of force. The most significant part that is going to change when the mayor drops his gavel here in a moment is no longer will those investigations occur because the police bureau agrees to it, but they will occur by right of law. I come from a culture that's quite different than the police culture, where it was imbued in those of us hired in the fire bureau from day one that you serve the public, that your job on duty and off duty is to always consistently represent the bureau in the best light possible. And I know from over 30 years in working for the city, close to 33 years, that the vast majority of officers that I was associated with live by those same principles. But what has become too familiar in this city is that there are those that do commit acts that cause others to lose their lives or cause them harm that somehow are not held accountable, or at a minimum, what happens is not transparent. The most significant part of this ordinance is that it will allow the independent IPR director to become part of a process whereby we can conduct independent investigations of what it is that led up to the taking of a life or a use of force incident. And if that investigation isn't satisfactory, send it back to be re-investigated either by the police bureau or by another entity. I think what's important is also to, for me, recognize how this ordinance got here tonight. The auditor, LaVon Griffin Belade, has been steadfast in her focus on bringing accountability and responsibility to officers who have been accused of wrongdoing, which, by the way, also includes sometimes exonerating officers who are sometimes falsely accused of a number of incidents that are also not treated fairly in the same process. So I appreciate LaVon's focus on both sides of that issue. Mary Beth Baptista and Constantine Severe have been invaluable, as you've heard here tonight, and working through the nuances of this ordinance. Ty Kovach and Stuart Oishi on my staff spearheaded these efforts early on for me. But I also want to make sure that I acknowledge the city attorneys. I'm reluctant to name a city attorney because a number of them folks up in that office were involved in getting this ordinance just right. And as some of you know, we had to find a right balance to make this ordinance stick. And then also the Bureau of Human Resources. But last but not least, I want to make one thing clear that I don't think has been real clear to the public, why I brought this ordinance forward. I originally scheduled a council work session for January 5th on a general topic that I identified as use of force by the police. I received a call from Commissioner Saltzman just before the Christmas holidays asking me what my intent was in having that council informal. And I